Things are starting to grow and bloom a lot here in Wisconsin. And our next guest says some flowers aren't just for looking at, they're also good for eating, too. We're talking about edible flowers on this week's edition of Food Friday. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever had an edible flower? What did you think of it? Do you use flowers in your cooking, on your dishes? Do you grow them with the intention of eating them? Do you have questions for our guest about how to use flowers in our food? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Scott Williams is the owner of Garden to Be, a small vegetable, herb, and flower farm near Mount Horeb. He regularly sells and delivers to restaurants and grocery stores in Wisconsin. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, hi there, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think, Scott, a lot of people will go into herb growing and vegetable gardening. Not everybody goes into edible flowers. What first got you into growing and consuming flowers?
When I started out in the farm, we were selling to in all different directions, farmers markets, and we started a CSA. And I really enjoyed working with chefs right away. It immediately just struck a beautiful chord in my soul. And I love working with chefs. They're artists and scientists. And, you know, I met some early on that enjoyed using edible flowers and asked me to grow some. And I just started there and did a lot, just started doing a lot of different varieties, and it's grown over time.
And we should have the note of caution here. I should not just start wandering around eating flowers at random, right?
No.
I've got to pick the ones that people already know are edible.
Well, yeah, there's that. Some really aren't good for you. Some are somewhat toxic. You don't know if you're not the one growing them, you don't know if they've been sprayed. I mean, not all sprays just wash right off, and edible flowers, a lot of flowers aren't ones that you typically wash. They're so delicate. So I would recommend not eating any that you find or aren't provided by a chef at a restaurant you're at, or that you're not growing yourself.
All right. Now we've got that out of the way. What are some of the coolest things you've seen chefs, Scott, do with the flowers you've grown?
I should start. I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, over 20 years, and I'm going to start with one that is current right now. It's I think you used the photo on the website to promote today's show. And a friend of mine, chef Jamie Hong at her restaurant Ahan here in Madison, she took some of the viola flowers that I'm growing and rolled them into a summer roll. And it uses a almost transparent rice paper roll around the outside. And they're just gorgeous. It's really, really beautiful. It's fun to eat. So that right away stands out to me. I like them when they garnish drinks. I think that's a fun way to use them. I don't know. A classic is the stuffed squash blossom. It's Italian, just classic. I love that fried, that little bit of egg and breadcrumb on the outside with the cheese stuffed inside. That one's been around forever, and I like that one too. I don't know, it's hard to say. It's
like you've seen a lot at this point.
I have.
Now let's talk more about those violas. I understand they're not too hard to grow. Like, this is something that people could plausibly be planting over the next week or two, right, and get some edible flowers out of this season.
Yeah, sure. Violas, pansies, that family, they grow a long time. They flower for a long time. And they don't take up a lot of space in your garden. You can grow them in pots, in windows, and they're fairly easy to maintain. They're just beautiful. And once they start blossoming, if you pick them off now and again, you know, just clean up the plant, pick off the older ones, they'll continue to blossom for months and months.
We are talking about edible flowers on this week's edition of Food Friday. Scott Williams is with us from Garden to Be, a vegetable, herb, and flower farm near Mount Horeb. He supplies, among other things, edible flowers to restaurants in the area. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about edible flowers? Do you grow flowers to be eaten? 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go right to your calls now. Lisa is with us in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. Edible flowers are great for drinks, too. Just a couple of days ago, I made a simple syrup, some sugar and water, and I poured them over some lilacs and blackberries to steep for a couple of hours. Press that out, add that with some lemon juice to a good gin and a good tonic water, and you have a delicious gin and tonic.
Ooh. Okay, I like the sounds of that. Any other drinks you like to use that your flower flavors in, Lisa?
I'm a gin and tonic, and when I live in England, you got to use Fever Tree tonic water. So they sell it in the U.S. now. So, yeah, gin and tonics are my thing.
Lisa, thanks. Gin and tonic connoisseur plus the flowers. So making a simple syrup with some of our flowers, Scott, is that something you've encountered?
Not one that I've done, no. I can imagine some of the chefs doing that, and not one that I've done here at home. I have to admit, I take a pretty simple approach. I like them raw. We garnish. We make some of our standard meals just a little bit more prettier by adding them. I like a nasturtium in a Bloody Mary. It's got that similar kind of peppery flavor. It's really beautiful up on top. It's just another garnish on a drink that often gets lots of garnishes, but not often flowers.
Lisa, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. We'll go next to Nancy in Ridgeland. Nancy, hi.
Well, good afternoon. I've already learned something, and I just was really glad now that I bought some violas the other day, because now I have five little plants and I've got a new use for them in addition to just being pretty. But I was also going to mention the nasturtiums on salads because of that peppery flavor that you just mentioned. And also, something to spice up some lemonade just to make it really pretty is to get some nice clear glasses and put a violet blossom in every ice cube that you put in your lemonade in the summer. And that's really, it's pretty and fun.
Awesome, Nancy. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, her note about nasturtiums in salad, Scott, I imagine that salads are a real go-to. As you mentioned, you like the flowers fresh, so they're going to add a great visual appeal to salads and some unique flavor.
Yeah, Nancy brings up a good point. Some of the flowers really do have distinct flavors. The nasturtium we both mentioned is one. You know, marigolds, there's, you know, a whole series of tiny marigolds called the Gem series, which are very citrusy in flavor. Those are all flowers that the flavor will stand out even over your greens and your dressings. And that's great. In addition to making it pretty, you get a real distinct flavor with them too.
Awesome, Nancy. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love the idea of the ice cubes with some flowers inside them too. Francisco joins us next in Sister Bay. Francisco, hi.
Yes, I'm an authentic Mexican. And I was born in Mexico. And the Mexicans survived the year because they eat weeds when they're tender. And they eat another vegetable called bertolaga. And that extends about 20 feet up from the center. And we pick it up. And then we eat tunas, which comes from the cactus. And then they give you a lot of value in your digestive tract. For example, the tunas you eat, and also the seeds, and all of that doesn't cost you a penny because it's wild. And
Francisco,
in Mexico, the land belongs to everybody.
Francisco, thank you so much for sharing that. Some of the plants, I'm guessing a lot of the plants that grow wild in Mexico, we're not going to see around here that much, Scott. But that said, are there wildflowers in Wisconsin that you know of that are good to eat?
Well, violets, those real low-growing plants, grow through the woods around the farm here. And they have a really pretty five-petal, kind of sharp, spiky blue or purple flower. Definitely grown those, I've harvested and used those. I'm trying to think of indigenous plants where we're eating the flowers. Now I'm drawing a blank. You stumped me.
Sorry about that. Francisco.
No, it's good. It's exciting.
Future research. Yeah. Francisco, thanks for that call. Let's go to Lila next in Crawford County. Lila, hello.
Hi. I wanted to mention a wildflower that's blooming now, the violet, he just mentioned it. Mm-hmm. As a great follow-up to Francisco, he introduced me very nicely I was just came in from the garden where I was pulling violets as weeds because I didn't want them to compete with the peas in the garden. And they're really blooming nicely right now, and I love to put them in my salads. They're delicious and highly nutritious, very high in iron and vitamin C. And I have not only the purple violets, but I've also got white ones growing here.
Interesting. Wow. Lila, thank you so much for sharing that. Now, Scott, she mentioned picking them, you know, they're weeds in effect in her garden, but they're nice to eat. Are violets something you grow on purpose for your garden to be?
I don't. They grow pretty abundantly here, especially along the edges of the from the yard and fields and into the woods. They grow prolifically, so I haven't planted any specifically, just because I come by them pretty easily. But Lila did make me think of something else too, which is that a lot of vegetables have flowers that are edible, and you know, sometimes you might get to the point where you're not ready to eat any more zucchini, for instance, and you can harvest blossoms and eat those for a little bit. You're going to take away the opportunity for that flower to turn into a fruit, but if you've already had your fill of zucchinis, you can eat that. And beans are another one. I grow pole beans, runner beans, and those little bean blossoms are crunchy and delicious and really pretty as well.
Thanks again for the call, Lila. It's Food Friday. We're talking about using flowers in our cooking. Scott Williams is with us. He's owner, operator, and farmer behind Garden to Be, a small farm near Mount Horeb. Among other things, he grows edible flowers that are used in many restaurants in the area. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you eat flowers? Do you have a favorite? What do you do with them? Salads, cooking, drinks? Tell us about it. Do you have questions for our guest about eating and or growing edible flowers? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our Food Friday conversation about edible flowers with Scott Williams. He's owner of Garden to Be, a small farm near Mount Horeb that grows edible flowers. You could join in with your thoughts, experiences, and or questions about using flowers in your food at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Jacob is with us in Madison. Jacob, hi.
Hi. There's a large array of things people can use, like herb flowers, like oregano and thyme, things like that, apple blossoms, anything in the carnation family, which includes the little pinks and dianthus. But I thought it was really important to let people know, when you mentioned vegetables, that anything in the potato, tomato, eggplant family, those are all nightshades, and you don't want to eat those. So don't just eat any vegetable flower.
Jacob, thanks a lot for the note, and that gets back to our point, Scott, earlier with flowers. Know before you try eating them that they are edible and not toxic.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, there's beans and peas, the ones that produce fruit that we eat are safe and can be tasty. But the floral sweet peas that are grown for small vases, those actually are toxic. So, you do have to really pay attention and look it up before you go in.
But Jacob also mentioned something that I just learned today poking around. If I'm growing herbs and they start to flower, I'm like, oh, I blew it. They're flowering. It's too late. But we could eat the flowers from some of our herbs?
Yeah, so some herbs you kind of want to flower before you use them, like Thai basil frequently is used with a little bit of flower on it. But I actually grow a pineapple sage that I don't use the herb itself. I don't use the leaves or anything really at all. But I love the flowers. They have this very long, narrow trumpet-like, a bright red flower. And when you pull it, if you can actually suck just a tiny bit of nectar out of it. Oh, it's pineapple juice in the flour. It's that one's really great to add to a salad.
That sounds great. Let's go back. Thanks, Jacob, for calling in. Let's go to Esther now in Deer Park. Esther, hi.
Yes, good afternoon. I had a question about fruit trees, and a previous caller mentioned apple trees. But I also wanted to know if you ate the whole flower of the blossom of the apple or the fruit tree, or if you picked off just the petals.
Hey, that's
interesting,
that's
Scott. You know,
yeah, that's a great question. So, you can eat the whole blossom like that, but that shouldn't stop you from sometimes pulling out the petals. In fact, one of my most popular items, you know, of flower items for sale is something I call a confetti, and I will take a lot of flowers and just gently remove petals from a just vast array of types and colors and make a confetti, and that would be another great thing to do with apple blossoms, but you can eat that whole little bud.
All right. Thanks, Esther. Let's go to Michelle now in Osseo. Michelle, hello.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about, Michelle?
Well, we were just talking about herbs. I like to use chive blossoms in my salads, and I like to put them in white wine vinegar for a few weeks, and it turns it into a beautiful pink vinegar for good for all year long with the chives or the garlic chive flavor.
Wow. Thanks, Michelle. I've had chives growing in my front yard for years, and I eat the chives. I didn't know I could eat the chive blossoms, Scott.
Yeah, and you can't stop the blossom from happening. It's going to happen here, you know, late spring, and that is an excellent suggestion. I love that with the vinegar. It's great for dressings and stuff.
That sounds really good. Thank you so much for that call. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Scott Williams from Garden to Bee, and we're talking about eating flowers, edible flowers, that is, and using them in our food. Still time for your favorites at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Linda is with us in Milwaukee. Linda, hi.
Hi. I've been harvesting violets from my lawn and my garden and made about 3 dozen jars of violet jelly.
Violet jelly. Now, give us a taste, Linda. What does it taste like?
It's a very subtle taste. It's slightly floral. I don't think the violets themselves have much of a flavor, but you steep it. You pour boiling water on, you steep them. Then you drain them and use the liquid like you would any kind of fruit jelly that you make. You add some lemon juice. It changes the color from a deep purple to a nice fuchsia pink. And I use honey and low sugar pectin instead of using sugar. And it's a nice, subtle flavor.
That sounds fantastic, Linda. Thank you so much for sharing that. Scott, I know you like it fresh, but have you heard of this making jelly with violets and other flowers?
That one actually is new to me. What a great idea. Wow. That's cool. I haven't seen that one.
That is fantastic. Thanks again for the call, Linda. We heard a little while ago from Dawn in Middleton who wanted to know what kind of fresh flowers can be steeped to make tea. Any suggestions, Scott?
We heard earlier the lilac blossoms. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. That's another one that I don't do, and I'm just trying to like chamomile. The flower is what's used to make those teas. Rose hips. I'm sure there's dozens more.
A while back we had a Food Friday conversation with a woman from England who was big on making teas. I will refer our caller back to that conversation. There was a little list there. Let's go back to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Toma. Jeff, hi.
Hi. No, when I was young, I grew up on a farm, and we always had clover and alfalfa, and we could. I mean, we didn't always have a lot of money for candy bars or anything, but if you pick those clover blossoms and just bite off the bottom or the bottoms of those, there was just a load of sugar in there, and just made us happy every time.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Clover blossoms, Scott. Have you worked with that?
Yeah, well, it's something that I've used as a cover crop on the farm and in pathways, some of the lower growings. But yeah, I have tasted that same thing. It's a great little snack when you're walking.
Time for one more quick call. Angela is with us in Milwaukee. Angela, hi.
Hi. So I just wanted to share two kind of unconventional ones. I use both roses and dandelions. So roses, you probably heard of rose water. They use a lot in cosmetics. But I like to use it to kind of flavor cocktails or to put in lemonade to give it kind of a nice herbal flavor. And then for dandelions, I was actually talking with a friend last year who mentioned a dandelion wine that his grandma used to make. So he handed off the recipe to me, and I'm going to try it.
Fantastic. Angela, thanks for the call. And Scott will give Angela the last word. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rob. Thank you.
Lots of fun. That was Scott Williams, owner and operator of Garden to Be, a vegetable, herb, and flower farm near Mount Horeb. He joined us on Food Friday to talk about edible flowers.